Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we are in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and indwell you and keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, with scripture, and with prayer. Because if we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled up with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your sister. Go wake up your brother. Go wake up your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter. Go wake up the whole family and let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. We on the air. We on the air in America, in Canada, in Asia, Africa. We in the air and we on everywhere. So go wake them up, y'all. All right, go wake them up. Go wake them up. Matter of fact, let me go get my bus this morning. Let me go get my bus. Let me go get my bus. All right, y'all. I'm coming around the curve. Wake up. Wake up. Come on, baby. Get on board this morning, baby and Boo Boo, BB, Mary, Sally, Jane. All right, come on, Jeff and Jim. Both of y'all. Come on. Both of y'all. All right, you can tie your shoe up once you get on board of the bus. You don't have to be where y'all try to be too cute riding the bus. You don't have to be this cute this early this morning. You can get ready once you get on board. Come on now. All right, let me go get a song. Let me just go get one of these good songs, one of these old songs here. This is one of these toe tapping Holy Ghost sanctified songs. It's a song that said I wasn't gonna tell nobody.
right.
That was the Abyssinia Baptist Church Choir out of New York City. They said, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody about that Sunday when I went to church and the Lord saved my soul and the church secretary put my name on the roll, but I couldn't help it. And that's how it is when the Lord done something for you. You can even try to not tell nobody, but you just can't help it. The prophet Jeremiah tried to retire, and he said, I wasn't going to tell nobody else. But he said it was like fire shut up in my bones. I had to just testify and tell somebody about it. And do anybody know what I'm talking about out there? All right, that's your song for today. All right, it's time now to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. Go get it now. Go get it off the coffee table. Go get it off the shelf. Come on, let's read our Bible out of Esther's this morning. Esther's chapter 3 through Esther's chapter 7. The book of Esther's found in the Old Testament. Esther's chapter 3 through 7. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
After these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than that of all the other nobles. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai,
Why do you disobey the king's command?
Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. In the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, the Pur, that is, the lot, was cast in the presence of Haman to select a day and month, and the lot fell on the 12th month, the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Xerxes,
There is a certain people dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom who keep themselves separate. Their customs are different from those of all other people, and they do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them. And I will give 10,000 talents of silver to the king's administrators for the royal treasury.
So the king took his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews.
Keep the money,
my lord,
and do with the people as you please.
Then, on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out in the script of each province and in the language of each people all Haman's orders to the king's satraps, the governors of the various provinces, and the nobles of the various peoples. These were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and sealed with his own ring. Dispatches were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality so they would be ready for that day. The couriers went out, spurred on by the king's command, and the edict was issued in the citadel of Susa. The king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa was bewildered. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city, in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai,
"All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king."
When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer:
"Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, and you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this?"
Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai:
"Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa. Fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish."
So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked,
"What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given you."
"If it pleases the king,"
replied Esther,
"let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him."
"Bring Haman at once,"
the king said,
"so that we may do what Esther asks."
So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared.
"Haman, Esther has outdone herself.
She has indeed."
As they were drinking wine, the king again asked Esther,
"Now, what is your petition? It will be given you. And what is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted."
Esther replied,
"My petition and my request is this: if the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question."
Haman went out that day happy and in high spirits. But when he he saw Mordecai at the king's gate, and observed that he neither rose nor showed fear in his presence, he was filled with rage against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home,
Zeresh,
calling together his friends and Zeresh his wife.
Yes.
Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him, and how he had elevated him above the other nobles and officials.
In front of everyone. And that's not all. I'm the only person Queen Esther invited to accompany the king to the banquet she gave. And she has invited me along with the king tomorrow. But all this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew, Mordecai, sitting at the king's gate.
His wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him,
have a pole set up, reaching to a height of 50 cubits.
Yes.
And ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai impaled on it. Then, go with the king to the banquet and enjoy yourself.
This suggestion delighted Haman, and he had the pole set up.
Set up a pole.
That night, the king could not sleep.
Bring me the book.
So he ordered the Book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him.
Read.
It was found recorded there that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes.
What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this?
The king asked.
Nothing has been done for him.
His attendants answered. The king said,
who was in the court?
Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling Mordecai on the pole he had set up for him. His attendants answered,
Haman is standing in the court.
Bring him in.
Yes, ma'am.
The king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him,
what should be done for the man the king delights to honor?
Now Haman thought to himself,
who is there that the king would rather honor than me?
So he answered the king,
for the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn, and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on its head. Then let the robe and horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor, and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor.
Go at once,
the king commanded Haman.
Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended.
Thanks, my lord.
So Haman got the robe and the horse.
Yes.
He robed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him,
this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor.
Afterward, Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman rushed home with his head covered in grief and told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had happened to him. His advisors and his wife Zeresh said to him,
since Mordecai, before whom your downfall has started, is of Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. You will surely come to ruin.
While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried Haman away to the banquet Esther had prepared. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet, and as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king again asked,
Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted.
Then Queen Esther answered,
if I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition, and spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves,
what?
I would have kept quiet.
What are you saying?
Because no such distress would justify disturbing the king.
King King Xerxes asked Queen Esther,
"Who is he? Where is he? The man who has dared to do such a thing?"
"An adversary and an enemy. This vile Haman."
"Haman?"
Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden.
"No, Michael, no."
But Haman, realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed,
"Will he even molest the queen while she is with me in the house?"
As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said,
"A pole reaching to a height of 50 cubits stands by Haman's house. He had it set up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king."
The king said,
"Impale him on it."
So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided.
All right. That was our scripture reading this morning, taken out of the book of Esther's. Esther chapter 3 through chapter 7. May God bless those who heard his holy and divine word this morning. All right, it's prayer time now. It's prayer time. It's time for prayer. The Bible tells us that all things are possible to him that believes. Do you believe it? I say, do you believe it? You want something from the Lord? Do you believe it? If you believe it, you can receive it. Come on, bow your head with us and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you again, dear God, for giving us another wonderful day. A day we did not earn, a day we did not merit, but it was by your amazing grace that we have another day. And Lord, we are so thankful that you delight in us coming before you. You said in your holy and divine word, "Come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And we need you right now, dear God, because Lord, we haven't done all that you told us to do. And then Lord, we've done some things that you told us not to do. And so Lord, we just ask that you'll have mercy on us today. Lord, we do want to lift up our country today. Lord, we ask you'll have mercy on our country, dear God. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that you will just turn things around in our country, just like you turned things around for Esther and her people. Lord, turn things around for this country. Our country seemed to be going the wrong way. We're going in a way that is not according to your word. So Lord, turn our country around. We do want to lift up our president, our vice president. Lord, we want to lift up for all of those that's in our Congress, the legislators, dear God, the senators, the congressmen, the governors, the mayors, the Supreme Court justices, Lord, all of the judges across our land, dear God, put them in their right frame of mind and spirit, dear God. We pray that you will give them a mind of the Lord, dear God. Give them the mind of Christ, that the judges' decisions can be those of Christ. The legislators' decisions can be that of Christ. Even the mayors and the governors, just touch in a mighty way. And Lord, I want to pray for our workers. We want to pray for our families, dear God. Bring our families together on one accord. Strengthen our families that's weak. Build those families up that has been torn down. Encourage the bereaved family. Save the lost. Encourage the saved. Rescue backsliders. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. And amen again. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it, that's it, that's it. We have had our prayer. We have had our scripture. We have sung our song. And the clock on the wall is saying that's just about all this morning here on In Your Corner. We do thank the Lord for you this morning. Thank you for riding along with us on the Bible bus. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. So at 7 o'clock, I'll be back with Ghostbusters, because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood and somebody needs to say something about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book and let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these wonderful programs, guess what? We began to rebroadcast them. So In Your Corner will be rebroadcast at 12 noon, 6 p.m. Ghostbusters will be rebroadcast at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. The Situation Room will be rebroadcast at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. A Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. Unsack Off will be rebroadcast at 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. A Deeper Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. And listen to us all day long, because we are in your corner.